August blends up and quiet.
Methodist queen works only case.
Let's cut the bull.
Thanks for tuning in to Rebellion Radio, the Hunger Games podcast.
What is up, my Hunger Game homies? Welcome back to Rebellion Radio, episode numero 5. I'm Hurley Commons.
I'm Alex Bulova.
I'm Elena Thomas.
And I'm April Grisanti.
And welcome back. It's back to school also for some of us. Well, is it just me that's back
me
to school?
Too. Yay.
Oh,
me and April
good.
Have 1 week
Who's
left.
Woohoo.
Or not even a week, Tuesday.
Well, you guys can.
Well, no,
woohoo
yeah,
for
Tuesday.
School and stress. Yay. Yay.
Yay.
Oh, yeah.
But we will still be coming to you with awesome bi-weekly episodes, so not to worry. Also, in other news, Alex is back and better
yeah.
than ever. Alex, what is up? How was Orlando?
Orlando was awesome. I was trying to think. I
nice.
Mean,
nice. And so tell us about your little meetup.
Oh, yes. Well, besides, you know, going to Disney and Wizarding World, I also got to meet one of my friends, none other than April Grisanti.
Booyah!
I know,
yeah.
Two podcasters met in real life. It's amazing.
That never happens.
Yeah. So, if you want to see a picture of these fine people meeting, just go to our Facebook page and like it, and it's at facebook.com/rrpodcast.
Yay.
And Elena, can you just plug our iTunes real
yes,
fast?
Yes, please rate, write a review, and subscribe to us on iTunes if you haven't already. You can find our iTunes link on our site, rebellionradiopodcast.com, or just search Rebellion Radio in iTunes. Thank you.
Yes, please thank you. Please and thank you, because that is a big... It's a big
yep.
deal.
Every time
page.
You write a review and for Rebellion Radio, God saves a kitten.
Yeah, it's true. So,
fact.
Like, don't just rate us, you know, write a review, and we will thank you for the rest
you
of your life.
Kittens around the globe.
So, that does it for announcements. Let's jump into the news. This week has been the busiest week in Hunger Games news in history. Would you
yes,
guys say?
Yes, pretty big.
So, first of all, of course, the very first teaser trailer for the film premiered at the MTV Video Music Awards, presented by Jennifer Lawrence herself. Well, not herself, she had a video, but let's listen to the audio right now.
Listen to me. You're stronger than they are. You are. They just want a good show. That's all they want. You know how to hunt. Show them how good you are.
This was a very controversial teaser. What do you guys think? What were your first initial reactions?
Well, I think I speak for everybody. First initial reaction was, that's it? We watched the entire VMAs for less than a minute?
It was 1 minute
yeah,
and 13
I mean,
seconds. It was the worst 1 minute and 13 seconds I've ever seen in a movie.
Okay,
we'll argue. Listen, everyone is saying like this was such a bad teaser. You know, they didn't show anything. But at first, of course, I did think, what the heck was that? Like, that was the shortest thing I've ever seen. But the more and more I watched it, I just, you know, I liked the elements in it. And the thing is, people have to realize that it's a teaser, you know? It's not even a full trailer. People have been calling it a preview for the past, like, week. So, like, this is what I expected, and I liked what we saw. I mean, it was the very first footage we've
yep,
ever seen.
I agree with Hurley. I mean, yeah, I was a bit upset. I kind of still am, but... Yeah, it was really overhyped. If it hadn't been hyped as much, if this was just, like, out of nowhere, maybe we'd be treating this a bit differently. But for what it is,
yeah.
I like it. I mean, I like what I've heard of, you know, Rue's, like, music. That's awesome. I guess we'll get to that in a few seconds. But, I mean...
Yeah, we will.
The camera work was nice. The fire, they actually looked like fire. It doesn't actually look like they're using CGI, which is a big plus. And, yeah, I mean, as short as it was, there's really nothing wrong with it. I liked it. The only thing I could complain about it was the very ending, with when it said The Hunger Games and had the logo. For me, that was just a bit, like, too much. Like, fire. The Hunger Games. More fire. We're trying to be epic.
Yeah.
It was a little...
Over the top.
Not corny. Yeah, over the top. Kind of little, like... It was a little tacky, I think. But yeah, April, Elena, I think you guys are on the other side of our argument.
Well, I mean, I kind of agree, but I agree with Alex that it was overhyped, and I think that for all the hype it was getting, it wasn't worth, like, okay, putting it at the very end of the VMAs, why put everyone through the VMAs, which are always horrible every single year, why put everyone through that for, like 30 seconds of running through the woods, you hear this background guy, random guy who you can't even see, talking about who knows what, and then, like, all of a sudden you just shoot an arrow and it's the end, and it's kind of like, okay, that was kind of overhyped a lot, but it was okay, I guess. I think the only thing that I really liked about it was that, the thing that I was so worried about was that the whole Jennifer Lawrence casting thing is that they're gonna make Katniss look like super over gorgeous and
hot,
pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
like put like tons and tons of makeup on her and make her look like she's like 30 years old, but you see one like screen cap of her face and she's shooting an arrow at the very end, and like she's not wearing a ton of makeup. It looks like natural, which that's like what I liked. I was like, oh good, she's not there. Like, caked in makeup from...
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like my Katniss natural.
Oh, okay.
I definitely can't complain about Katniss.
Remember, just can't complain. Remember when I said last time that it was going to be a scene, the worst scene that wouldn't give us any information, it was going to be her jumping and that would be it? It pretty much came true. Yeah. So...
See, okay.
And then, I mean, the one thing that I liked... was at the end when she shot the arrow. I think that was a good shot. And I like how she looked, character-wise. So, the only thing I didn't like was that it was only the woods. Like, they couldn't give us anything else. Like, somebody who doesn't know what the Hunger Games is, they could just think it's something hunting instead of an actual thing about people killing people.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to mention. Like, I agree with you guys. It was definitely overhyped, and I don't get why they aired it with the VMAs.
Yeah, there's two types of people in the world. Those who read The Hunger Games and those who watch MTV.
Exactly. I mean, I don't watch MTV, but I'm like, okay, I'll watch this award show. I like award shows, but it was so weird. Lady Gaga's just as a guy. I'm just like, what is this? And when I finally got to it, I'm like, when I first heard the announcement, okay, it's going to air at the VMAs. They must be trying to bring in the audience of the VMA people. I'm like, okay, cool. But, like, this doesn't really do anything for non-fans. I remember thinking, will this interest non-fans? And I don't think it really explains anything. So I think it's a good teaser for what it is for the fans. But as for, like, airing it on TV and being like, check it out, first look on MTV, it was a letdown. But I want to talk about the music.
Oh, yes.
What did you guys
think? Well, I know that Danny Elfman and T-Bone Burnett have not started their score yet, so I'm not sure if this is official music, but
it's not.
Well, we know that the end is.
Yeah, you say what?
For what they use, I mean, it sort of sounded sort of stock. Maybe that's because it is. But, you know, it sounded good. It fit. And so...
Here's what I don't get. So, as Alex said, what's his name? Gary Ross did reveal that Elfman has and then Burnett have not started working on the soundtrack. But I'm like, this sounds like Elfman. And here's the thing, it's not stock music either, because it's the exact same music from the online poster we saw a couple months ago.
Yeah.
So that is weird. But I like the music. And four-note whistle. April, what do you think of that?
I honestly... This is going to sound really bad, but I honestly... did not hear it in the way of Rue's whistle. I thought it was just something extra. I should probably go back and... I didn't hear it that way. I didn't think of that immediately. So no. Now that
exact,
you say it...
Exact same.
Yeah, somebody...
I mean...
Somebody had to point it out for me. I'm like,
when
what
they
is
played
this
it on MTV, the whistle came when they were saying, like, hey, this has just been a sneak preview. And so I'm like, is that the MTV whistle?
Right,
but then, like, the next day when I was checking Facebook in the hotel lobby, like, somebody's like, oh my god, it's Rue's whistle! Ah! And I'm like, oh, that's what it was. And then I promptly downloaded the free MP3 from iTunes. All 6 seconds.
Yeah, we'll get to that in later announcement. So, also, it wasn't just video. What did you guys think of Gale's voiceover? He said, listen to me. You're stronger than they are. They just want a good show. That's all they want. You know how to hunt. Show them how good you are. Did that really fit?
I think that
no.
With the footage?
Aren't those his parting words to her when she's, like, leaving the district, like, in the justice building?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's,
something
like
that.
Pretty much exactly what he says when they're leaving, except I don't know how that fits in with her just, like, running through the woods.
Well, you know what? It doesn't really match, but you know what? I think William Hemsworth is a pretty good voice actor. I mean, he sounded like, my God, I am never going to see you again. I need to impart my wisdom on you. I mean...
okay.
Yeah. I agree with Alex. I mean, I know I've been kind of hating on Gale for the past year, but I think he sounded a lot more mature than I, you know, like the pictures make him out to be. He sounded a lot more like the Gale we see in the books, and I know that's like, how can you make that from just the voiceover and like the first trailer, but I'm happy with the way he sounds, you know?
Yeah, but I guess, but you still don't really know, like, his voice is his voice, but his voice can be perfect, but his looks can't. It's just, you never know. But
well, I think the real difference is that me and Hurley are guys, therefore we're paying more attention to the acting, and you and Elena are girls, therefore you're paying more attention to how hot he is.
Oh, not true.
No, not at all. If I was paying attention,
well,
no way, because he's not hot. That's the point.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're paying attention to how hot he is, which he is not. Therefore, you're sort of downgrading him. You're judging him based on his looks.
That's so not true.
While me and Hurley are saying that we're paying attention to the acting.
Stereotype. Okay.
No way. No.
Well, I don't care what the stereotype is for guys, but I think Jennifer
Lopez. Yes.
There you go.
Okay. She is quite
hot. There
you
go.
She is attractive. It's just the fact.
And Liam Hemsworth is not. There we go.
Well, I'm just saying, when I say that you're judging him by how hot he is, I'm saying you're judging him by his looks. And
but that's the point.
Yeah.
When have I ever said anything
that led you to that assumption? Hey, break it up. Okay. We have to move on to the next little talking point. What did you guys think of the aesthetic of the whole thing? Like, the forest, at least, that's the only thing we saw, but, like, how do you think it looked?
So
like, the costume
Twilight.
And stuff? And
oh,
the,
my gosh.
Well, okay, like, Candace looked great.
Okay.
I'll just
no,
say
no,
that
no,
now.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, just, like, the whole setting. Like, it was so Twilight-y. And in Twilight, the first movie, they used, like, a filter on the whole picture of the film. So that's, like, a little bit blue.
Yeah.
It has, like, a little blue tint-ish thing. And that's kind of how it looked in the teaser trailer to me a little bit. Like, it had this little tiny blue hint of a tint. Anyway, so it kind of reminded me of Twilight,
nice.
Just in the way that it, like, the whole thing looked. And then, of course, she's, like, running through the woods, and I'm expecting Edward to, like, jump from behind it to a tree and be like, hold on tight, spider monkey, or something stupid like that. So it was, like, so Twilight to me. I was like, oh, gosh.
Well, are you sure?
I haven't seen Twilight, but it did look green. Very green.
Are you sure it's not your TVs? Because I didn't see any, like, color hues whatsoever. Maybe it was green because
it
was in the forest.
Yeah, I watched it on my computer because I don't have TV.
Well, okay, so I know obviously she's in the forest, but it looked like too, like, I don't know.
But
I think I need to see more of it. But
so I like the aesthetic so far.
Isn't the what's it called? Arenas? Aren't they like Capitol made? They're not like real things.
Yeah, you know that.
So
that's a
very
good point.
If in a way. The trees look a certain way as in fake or and they look cheesy or something.
Synthetic.
It's kind of supposed to be that way.
That's a good point. This is from the firebombing scene in the arena,
yeah.
But Yeah, that's true. Like, these could be weird genetically modified trees, yeah, for all we know.
Yes.
Anyway, let's not focus on the trees for too long. Let's move on to the next news item. Gary Ross did a couple interviews. Actually, I think it was like two, but they split it up and like released them as like seven different clips. Mm. But he discussed the trailer and the movie, and he did a lot of different things. So let's start with the first one, where he just addressed the fans' reactions. He said, "We're still shooting, so unfortunately, it's just a teaser. We can only give you a little bit because we're still down here making the movie. But there's still a lot of things to come, and I think that it's going to be hugely epic and very emotional and incredibly powerful." So he talks about getting inside Katniss's head, and he also mentions Stanley Tucci's acting as Caesar Flickerman. Woo. So, you know, he seems impressed. Everyone's been saying, like, Jennifer's acting's made me cry and all that. So that's just good confirmation. Alex, you want to talk about the next little interview? Yep.
In more interviews, he talks about the music collaborations and a very interesting clip about the point of view perspective in the movie. What do we think of his remarks that some of the movie may be in first-person POV, or point of view?
Through, like, Katniss's eyes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one?
You know, it was a weird... He worded it very weirdly. He was like, yeah... Well, he said, like, most of it's gonna be, like, you're gonna be experiencing the movie viscerally, and that means... viscerally. And that means, like, you're experiencing the capital the way Katniss would experience it. But I don't think he actually said first person. But what would you guys like to have some of it in first person? I mean, obviously not all of it, because that would just give you a headache, but, like...
Yeah, I'd like that.
Some of
it. I think
it'd
be cool.
It would be interesting.
Like, maybe...
Yeah.
Probably for, like, a hunting scene, like
yeah,
shooting out.
I don't necessarily
think
they'd only have to...
do it.
I think the entire thing would be, and that would be really weird, but...
Oh, that'd be annoying.
Little parts of it, it would be okay.
I don't think they would do it, like, as she's, like, walking into the Capitol and she just sees all this stuff. They wouldn't, like, make it in that point of view. I think it would be more for the hunting scenes and the arena scenes than anything.
Well, for me, one scene comes to mind in particular, and that's the cornucopia where, oh, what's his name, Cato, is inside the cornucopia, you know, nearly dead.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they could do
that
something
would be
like
a
that.
Good scene for
like,
that.
Not that they should play up to this, but a lot of point of view shots could be used for, like, the scary bits, like, if they really want to shock you. And so I could see it being done cheesily, but I also could see it done, like, really emotional. And so, as long as it's not, like, the entire movie, or it's, like, the most pointless parts, like, oh yes, I'm going to take a walk around my room. Let's do that in POV to make it interesting.
Yeah, it should not be like her and PETA, like, making out.
Oh, no.
God, please don't make that.
Maybe from PETA's, you know,
point
of view.
That would be awkward. That would be so awkward.
Like, no, stop it.
Don't
look
that
towards
would be
him.
Awkward.
Yeah, he'd be, like, kissing the camera. What the heck?
Oh.
That would be so weird.
Yeah, so they got to balance it, definitely. So, April, you want to talk about the next news?
Sure. So Lionsgate released a free 6-second clip of Rue's 4-note theme on iTunes. I have not downloaded it, but I'm sure other people have. So
yep.
It said, Ross said that in an interview that Elfman and Burnett have not started on the score. So somebody else must have come up with this, which is really weird.
Yep.
It
although,
is weird.
I've been trying to find it on iTunes, but my iTunes is being stupid, so it won't search for it.
Well, can I just say, knowing it's not Elfin or Burnett, you know, there's one actual big possibility, and this would be awesome. Both of those actually Suzanne Collins. Like, this is what she had in her head.
I'm sure,
like,
she was a part
Rue's
of it.
Theme.
Ooh.
Like, of course she's part of it.
I'm
yeah,
sure
like, well,
she didn't just
Elfin
give it to
Burnett
Elfin and Burnett
worked.
And goes, here, do what you want. I'm sure she's there with them.
Yeah, but
saying,
if Elfman and Burnett
this.
haven't touched it yet, then most likely Suzanne Collins. And
so you're saying, like, Suzanne, like, told them, here's the beat, here's the notes, I think, and they just recorded it?
Yeah, I'm thinking that, you know, Suzanne Collins could have gone to Gary Ross. It's like, oh, yeah, by the way, use it.
That is awesome. How did you
that
do that?
That's actually just me whistling.
Oh my god.
I know. How did you whistle like exactly?
I don't know.
Here, I'm gonna try to whistle.
Try sucking in, that helps more. Suck in the air instead of blowing it out.
There you go.
Anyway.
Okay, stop showing off. So, yeah, maybe Suzanne has a... Suzanne. Susie. Should we have, like, a little nickname for her? J.K. Rowling has Joe.
So,
Suze.
Suzy Q.
Sue.
How about Sue?
Yeah, Sue.
Yeah, maybe Susie made this... I don't know, but, like... If the listeners want to download it, you can just go to iTunes and type in Hunger Games, and it's the song... it says the artist is Lionsgate, and it's a free 6-second clip, so I get it.
Yeah, definitely.
It messes me.
It's only 6 seconds, but you know what? It's the most awesome 6 seconds ever.
It sounds too, like, depressing. Like, the notes are all in the minor key, which means that it just sounds, like, so, like, eerie. And it's, like, Rue. It's not, like, if it was, like, Kato or Clove who came up with this, that would make sense. But it's Rue. She's not, like, this, like, eerie... depressing, kind of creepy sounding person who's like gonna like make up a note like this. I imagined it sounding more like a little happier,
but
not so like.
Isn't it from
creepy.
Her district?
No.
Like, wait. Did she make it up herself, or did somebody in the district make it up?
I thought she did.
I thought
it
was a district.
Yeah. And they made
like
it
custom.
Up. Rue was really young.
When you're like singing a tree. When you're singing a tree all day, you might get a bit melancholy.
Yeah, I like it, because it kind of starts, like, the first three notes are like, doo-doo, I can't sing, but, yeah. Okay, we get it, you're awesome, whistling. So, yeah, the first notes are, like, kind of, it's eerie, but then the last one's, like, depressing, because she dies at the end, but, like, I like it, because it's, you know, it is an eerie, it's not a happy universe, the Hunger
Games.
And
I'd be happy if this was, like, eerie. The theme of the Hunger Games. Like, John Williams, like, da-da-da-da-da, is to Harry Potter as, I'm not going to whistle again, is to Hunger Games.
Yeah, it could be, like, Rue's theme, Hedwig's theme.
It works.
Yep. So, Elena.
Yes.
You want to talk about the Capital.pm for our last announcement of news?
Okay, so Lionsgate has launched a mysterious new site called the Capital.pn, PN standing for Panama, I guess. And at first it only showed jittering images, and now you can enter the mysterious site which starts with the capital emblem with the word capital going around the bird. You can register yourself with Twitter or Facebook, and you can become a citizen of a certain district, even though I haven't been able to, because the site is stupid. Anyway, so the first, you can have District 1, which is luxury, District 2, which is masonry, District 3, which is electronics, District 4, which is fishing, District 5, which is power, District 6...
You don't have to say district, you can just say 6, 7, 8.
6, transportation, 7, lumber, 8, textiles, 9, grain, 10, livestock... 11, agriculture, and of course, 12, which is mining. So, what do you guys think of this site?
Well, this is awesome, because hasn't it been in question with a lot of Hunger Games fans what all the districts meet, like, what they are?
Yep.
Like, I know we got most of them in the books, but, like, District 5, I didn't know was power.
And
finally, we actually get to see all of this.
Yeah, but it definitely answers all the questions about every single district, but so I registered, and Elena, are you the only one that hasn't been able to?
Okay, so I'll go on it, and I'll click, like, register or whatever it is through Facebook or Twitter, and I'll press it, and then it'll be like, this register is
not found
or something.
To be logged on to Facebook.
I do, and then I log on to Twitter, and it says the same thing, so I'm like,
I do.
It doesn't work! So I'm like, ugh. So I was able to do something with Facebook, but then it just said, you are in District 12, and then it said, come back
later.
District
12. Congratulations.
Well, that's what I got,
But I didn't choose.
So that's good.
You don't choose District 12.
What?
The wand chooses the wizard.
I don't want to be in District 11, but I am.
Oh, too bad.
Okay, so let's just talk about the site for a little bit. So, capital.pn, so I'm District 7, and let's just go around. Alex, what are you?
District 2. Masonry.
And April?
District 11.
Oh, nice. Okay, so basically when you enter the site, every Hunger Games fan should definitely go there. You register and you are automatically put into a district, and then there's if you scroll across, there's like a countdown to the movie, and the thing is, they have all this information, but it looks like the capital itself has made the site, so it looks really cool. And it shows you, like, how many people have registered, and it's like set up like, ooh, like this many people wanted to Sare, and there's like a little capital announcements, and it looks really great. I think, what do you guys think of the look of it?
It looks awesome. With all the big, you know, nice charts of the different people in different districts, and the nice countdown to not the Hunger Games movie, but the 74th annual Hunger Games. It just looks aesthetically great.
It looks very
futuristic. The PR team is doing a great job here.
Oh, yeah. And also, I thought it was great that they kept, like, the sort of the same aesthetic from, like, the books, like the inside flap and stuff, you know? They have those circles and, like, the shading and stuff. It's pretty much following the like same kind of feel of that. And then the big question is, what in the heck is the site? Like, what could it possibly be?
No, I'm thinking it's going to be more information pertaining to the world of the Hunger Games. Like, as the movie approaches, this maybe could be, like, where a non... Like, if you haven't read the Hunger Games, like with the trailers that say, like, for more information, please go to www.thecapital.panem. And, like, it'll be sort of more of a background world so that you're more ready for the movie.
So is this a Pottermore wannabe? Is this just like Pottermore? Like, learn more about Potter, you know, register, like, be sorted into a district? Is it just going to be that? Because this doesn't look like it's from Suzanne Collins. It looks very Lionsgate.
Yeah, it's definitely for the movie.
I don't think it is. I think it's going to be more of like a contest. Like, people from each district are going to get selected to, I don't know, go to like the premiere or something.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Right, oh yeah.
Email somebody about that.
Well, that makes sense because it's like districts and then countdown to the Hunger Games.
Yeah, like a boy and a girl are going to get chosen to go to like the premiere or like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Catching Fire.
And then the website will delete your Facebook account as you get killed.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that would be pretty funny, actually.
Any other, I mean, April, do you have any ideas about what this is?
It could really be anything at this point. It's like they just made this. They didn't give any hints about it or anything. They just launched it and expected people to find it.
How did people even find out about this?
Yeah, and every district has a Facebook page and a Twitter page, and it was very sudden.
It looks really awesome, and it looks like it could be something big for this series in the future.
Yeah. So we'll find out what that could be in the near future, hopefully.
Yep.
So that does it for this news week. Again, that was a lot of news, and we're at half an hour right now, so let's move on to the mailbag.
Mail time.
We're going to read some of your very own mail. And reminder, you can send us any mail at comments@rebellionradiopodcast.com. So let's start with the first email from Dreamer. Alex, you want to take that?
Sure. So Dreamer says, "Loving your show so far, guys. I've watched the teaser trailer a few times, and I'm kind of underwhelmed by it. The footage was kind of weird with Gale's voiceover. I really love the very end where Katniss shoots the arrow and it becomes an arrow in the pin, and then you hear Rue's four-note whistle. I got shivers down my spine. You guys talked about how the Capitol piercings compared to our society. I don't think that we should be too bothered by the fact that people get piercings and tattoos. Most people don't go over the top. They have pierced ears or natural dyed hair or tattoo on their shoulder blade. The Capitol people are a lot more over the top than most people. The Capitol people are a lot more over the top than most people in our world. They have green skin, implanted cat ears, or jewels. Ending of chapter 7 is epic, and I know all you know it too. Your loyal listener, Dreamer."
Thank you, Dreamer. Keep on dreaming.
Dream on.
Hurley's weekly word of wisdom. Dreamer thinks that the footage was kind of weird. This is like the most controversial thing. And we talked about the piercings and the dyed hair in the Capitol. She makes a good point. We were comparing it to our world, but the Capitol are like a lot more over the top with like cat ears and stuff.
But at the same time, we are getting to be more closer to the Capitol. I mean, yeah, a lot of people aren't going over the top. But there are more and more people that are willing to, you know, get plastic surgery and disfigure their body just so that they can look beautiful. And, though we may not be there yet, though most people may be saying, we are crossing the threshold.
A threshold.
A lot of people certainly get, like, cosmetic surgery just because, like, they're like, I want to get a nose job for no real reason in particular and just things like that, you know? So it is a little bit different, but it's also kind of similar, too.
Mm-hmm. So next email, Elena, you want to read this one?
Sure. It says, hey, fellow rebels. I agree with Hurley and April. I hate Gale with a deep passion.
Woo! Nice.
He is such a loser. Oh my goshness. He killed Prim and didn't even freaking care. And Elena, I disagree with you. Boo. With your pie reference. Both of those pies are delicious, by the way. There is no absolute way you can compare Gale and PETA. PETA is obviously better and always will be. I think Gale is the biggest jerk ever! Exclamation point. And also, I agree with Elena about the soundtrack thing. It sounded really sucky with the random background music in Twilight. They shouldn't have a soundtrack, just a score for the Hunger Games. Sorry for the super-duperty long email. Haley, District 11. P.S. I just wanted to add what my brother said about PETA's name. Not to be racist or anything, but he said that PETA sounds like a black guy saying Peter. His name was really awkward.
So I made sure Elena was the one to read this.
Yes, I
Elena
know.
Is the defeated one, Gale.
No,
yes. I will never be defeated.
I'm kidding. Gale doesn't suck, but...
Yeah.
We had a big conversation about Gale last week. Alex, you want to weigh in about your thoughts about Gale?
Gale. Oh, Gale. I mean, I don't hate him. I don't hate him. I think he's a bit too pushy. Like, in the first chapter, he's like, hey, do you want to run away? You know, start a family in the woods? It's like, man.
That sounds lay so off. Sketchy.
But, I mean, really, yes, I know. But the thing is, I mean, I don't have any problem with him. Yeah, he's a bit pushy. Yeah, he's just a bit weird, and yeah, PETA is obviously the better person, yeah. But the thing is, I know people hate him for, you know, killing Prim, spoiler.
Absolutely.
But, you know, and yeah, him feeling no, you know, resentment for that, but you know what? He's just an average guy. I don't really hate him. I don't like him as much as I like PETA, but you know what? He's okay. Did anybody really expect Katniss to hook up with Gale in the end? No. Nobody expected that. They all knew it'd be PETA. So stop freaking out.
I'm quite sure a lot of people expected Gale to be with Katniss.
No.
Yes, there
were
quite a few people. I didn't agree with them, but...
I'm sure there were some people.
A lot of people did.
Alex, there's a group called Team Gale, if you weren't aware.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, God.
Anyway, thanks for that email.
Yep. And also, I would just like to comment, I think PETA sounds like British people, actually.
PETA. Yeah, that's what we talked
PETA.
About last week.
PETA?
It could be anything. It's like PETA, and then, as Haley said, in an unracist fashion, PETA, you know, like a black guy.
That's
but
so
anyway,
rude.
Before we offend every culture...
We have offended every culture every time.
Before we offend every person on the planet, let's move on to our next
let's
segment, which is Chapter Chat.
Yep.
This week we'll be covering The Hunger Games chapters 5 and 6. And as always, spoiler alert, for all three books we will tear this apart. So you were warned. So I got first chapter 5. We start off with Katniss getting plucked and prodded by the Salus team. Flavia, and Porteous. And they rip her hair off and they wax her and they, you know, they pull everything off her skin, and we're always talking about connections to the real world, but the Capitol is very superficial, you know, just like MTV, you know? I remember some people were talking about the MTV people at the VMAs were, like, kind of dressed up as people as the Capitol, and I thought that was pretty ironic.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, getting, you know, wearing weird stuff and stuff like that. But anyway... She thinks they are barbaric and idiots, but at the same time feels kind of... You can't really be mad at them because they're just doing their job and she feels like they want to help her. So then she meets her stylist, Cinna, for the very first time, and she is very surprised at how down-to-earth he is compared to the rest of the Capitol. And I want to talk about this, about the most controversial casting decision of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
We meet... Cinna this whole couple chapters, and he's very gentle, he's very feminine, he's what did you say, Elena?
I said kind. He's like
right.
Kinder than the rest of the people.
Right He's very kind,
understanding.
And people have been saying, how the heck is Lenny Kravitz gonna pull this off? Now I know Elena has expressed her feelings profoundly, but Alex and April, what do you guys think? Do you think Lenny Kravitz was wrong for this character?
Or I don't necessarily think it was the right casting decision. Yes, he is a very manly man. I'm not sure if he is right for a stylist.
Exactly. But I think he's too buff to play this.
He is rather buff. But you know what? He's an actor. He can probably pull off. I mean, I haven't seen his previous movies, but you know what? Gary Ross has done pretty well so far. I'm just going to bet that he's a good enough actor. I mean, if he has at least the talent of his daughter, who we saw in X-Men First Class, yeah, he should be good.
April?
When I was reading this again for ChatGPT, I was imagining Lenny Kravitz as Cinna, and I mean, it wasn't bad. I mean, I think he could pull it off if they just make him look right. Like, if they make him look like a buff guy with, like, a muscle shirt and stuff, it's not going to be right. There were a lot of people who could have been the better choice in terms of looks. But, you know, I think Lenny Kravitz could probably pull it off if they just style him right.
They got styled the stylist correctly.
Exactly.
Yeah, as long as he's not like, "Hello, Katniss. I'm your stylist, Cinna."
That'd be really creepy, too, considering that when she first meets him, she's stark naked.
Well, that, too. That's another thing. Yeah. How are they going to put that in?
That's another... How will they, like, do the naked things in the movies? Because there's the first book in which, she's naked. There's the second book in which, Johanna is, you know, just strips down naked in the elevator.
Uh-oh. Yeah, that's going to be weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, listen, just to explain the naked part. So they strip her down, and then Cinna comes and, like, stares at her from all ends, and then decides what to do, you know. But here's the like, the camera can just go around her head and, like, you know.
Makes her look, like, all, like, awkward and, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm back.
Yeah.
So, after they do that, she gets her clothes back on, and they eat a meal that comes from literally a push of a button. And she thinks about how long it would take her to make this meal in her District 12, and it would have taken days and days just to make a substitute.
Mm. The sad thing about that is that people still actually do live with that. Like, us in America, we are pretty privileged people. We actually can just get food from the touch of a button.
I.e. McDonald's.
But if you overanalyze this, there are other people, like in third world countries, that they have to make all their own food from the scratch that Katniss is describing. And if you apply the Hunger Games to the real life like we've done so many times, this is sort of a smack in the face. Like, how we should really feel grateful for what we have.
Mm-hmm. Instant gratification is, you go to the drive-thru at McDonald's, you can get a burger with, like, just saying it. She talks about later in the chapter how she whispers into the menu and gets food. And it's the same thing here. So, yeah. Cinna tells her that her costume will have synthetic fire that won't burn her as the main element and wants people to remember her as Katniss, the girl who was on fire. And Katniss has a cynical, sarcastic line that goes, "It crosses my mind that Cinna's calm and normal demeanor masks a complete madman." And it's true. I think, like, you know, Cinna has a very rebellious, like, crazy kind of attitude, but...
But then again, don't all designers have to have that?
Yeah, it's true.
True.
So PETA shows up in an identical fiery costume, and the crowd goes wild when they see both tributes hand in hand. So what do you guys think of the tactic of the hand holding?
I thought it was really nice. And later on in the next chapter, they comment that it's just like the perfect touch of rebellion, because that never happens, because, you know, they're the two tributes are planning to kill each other. So the fact that they're holding hands and showing a sense of unity is really like the perfect touch of rebellion.
Mm-hmm. So after they blow kisses and shock the audience for the rest of the parade, they completely dominate the other districts, and everybody's mystified. So Katniss has a little flutter of hope for the first time that, you know, maybe people can't count out the kids from District 12, you know, maybe they do have a shot. So after the parade's over, PETA is charismatic and smooth and talks to Katniss and says, you know, how you doing? Or I don't know what he says, but he's very smooth with her. And then Katniss is like, oh, what a funny guy. But then she lets her guard down, quote-unquote. Don't be so stupid. PETA is planning how to kill you. He's luring you in to make you easy prey. The more likable he is, the more deadly he is. So, she has major trust issues. I think this is her biggest, like, this is what annoys me later on in the series. PETA does all this for her, and she still goes, I mean, not in Catching Fire, but for the rest of the book, she still has doubts about PETA's, like, allegiance. Like, what do you guys think about her trust issues?
Yeah. I mean, it is reasonable, looking at basic psychology, her mother let her down, therefore she can't really trust anyone but herself.
That is true.
And yeah, she's learned to be very independent and not trust anyone and just lean on, like, what she can do.
Yeah.
So and I understand perfectly.
Add the fact that you have to kill each other later on, I would not trust him either if I were in her shoes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But here's the difference in this, though. Like, he gave her the bread. I think she should at least give him a shot.
I'm going to come down on Katniss's
under
side.
Under the circumstances, it's...
Save my own neck.
Yeah, under the circumstances, I think it's perfectly understandable for her to not trust anyone, basically.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so the chapter ends as Katniss says that two can play this game and kisses him on the cheek, right on his bruise.
Yep.
So, Elena, chapter 6.
Yeah, so chapter 6 opens up with the group of Katniss, PETA, and Effie heading up to their temporary living quarters until the game starts. And Effie comments on what she thinks Katniss and PETA's strategies might be. And she notes that maybe it's from the angle that they both have overcome the barbarism of their districts. Barbarism, really, coming from someone from the capital, that sure is ironic, I thought, when I was reading this. And even Katniss says that, too. She's like, considering that that's coming from somebody who is planning to watch me be slaughtered on live TV, I'm not really sure what to think of that. She basically says that, so...
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. So they all sit down for dinner, and Haymitch shows up, too, looking about the best and most sober Katniss has ever seen him. And she hopes that this is a result of his keeping on the bargain that her and PETA made with him. It's kind of interesting to see that he actually is sticking to this whole deal he made with them. They're just about to start dessert, and when Katniss notices the Avox girl who is serving them, and she says this out loud, she's like, "Oh, I recognize her. Do I know you from somewhere?" And when she can't talk, she's like, they're like, "Katniss, that's an Avox. How could you know her?" And then Petniss. Okay, that sounds really wrong. PETA.
That would be awesome, like, as a couple.
No, it wouldn't.
Like. So PETA saves her skin by saying that she looks like Dellie Cartwright when she really doesn't at all. And later on, he demands an explanation from her, so she tells the story of how she knows the girl. And here's a flashback.
Woo!
Katniss and Gale were hunting one day when all the birds stopped singing and they both saw a boy and girl running from their lives through the woods. Then all of a sudden a hovercraft appeared and killed the boy, then captured the girl, who saw Katniss and Gale and screamed for help before the hovercraft took her away and vanished. And so PETA then will end flashback.
Wait, hold on. I just want to talk about this. This disappointed me. Because I always expected this to tie in with some conspiracy, but it never did. We never knew what the Avox was captured for. Did you guys feel the same way?
Yes.
I wanted to know what it was about.
I actually kept that in my mind the whole trilogy, and I'm like, what was she hiding? Like, what was she running away from the capital from? And we never figured it out. And
Maybe this is something that will be revealed in, like, the Ultimate Hunger Games guide that's coming
out. Maybe. Oh, yeah, maybe. That'd be
good.
But,
yeah, it really is just a dropped plot
line. Don't we see her again in the last book? Wasn't she also being tortured in front of PETA?
Yeah, she gets killed.
Yeah, but she dies before it's really that bad, but Darius is the one who is basically tortured the entire time. But she dies. Wasn't it her?
We do. I think we do see her in the third, but...
But we never see the reason why.
We never get why, and I was so intrigued by this, actually, I just had to talk about that.
So that's the end of the flashback. Woo. PETA then gives Katniss his jacket.
Aww.
And she notes that the boy and girl were definitely from the capital, because they had that kind of capital look to them. But my question is, what on earth were the two of them running from the capital for? And we just discussed this, that we're like, why were they under attack from the capital? But PETA says that he would run away too, but he doesn't really give a specific reason why.
My only theory is that they were somehow part... Was the rebellion going on... Was it still being planned at this point?
Pretty sure, yeah.
I mean, I thought it had been in the works for, like, years and years and years.
And also, I kind of tied that back to what Haymitch comments about them holding hands. It's a perfect touch rebellion. I was wondering, why did he say that? I think he was in on the plan then, too. But, yeah, my only theory is they were just part of that. Or, you know, they found out something. They were, like, infiltrating the Capitol, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Could be it. I think that Katniss is kind of like the catalyst for it. Like, that's what really started it. They had always planned it, but it wasn't until Katniss came that it really started.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so. that's a big problem I have with the series, just why Katniss is, like, the catalyst. I mean, I know she's the one who sparked the rebellion, but at the same time, you know, that it's just kind of random. Were they just sitting by their televisions like, alright, let's wait for an actual good, you know, tribute?
I think it was because... Now. I think it was because, like, the whole aspect of her, she was so, her and PETA together were so, like, I guess you could say, like, the power couple, kind of, I guess. They kind of, like, were,
But how did they anticipate
so
this?
Everyone got so tied to them. Well, yeah, that's a good question, but everybody was just, so tied to them that...
I can't believe that they were just sitting around, like, alright, we'll get a rebellious one eventually.
I think that was what it was, though.
I don't know.
Well, you know what, here's my thing. I think that... So they were planning to do this on the third quarter quill, right? So they probably waited for the year before and said which one's the most rebellious, and obviously Katniss was.
No, but why would it
matter? So if Prim was in her place...
Why would it matter if they have a rebellious tribute or not? Because if Katniss was in there, but she wasn't rebellious, I guess, why would it matter?
I think it's because, like, what they say is that, like, basically the only real way to reach... citizens of Panem is through the television. Like, that's really the only way they can reach them, because there's no communication with any of the districts otherwise.
Right.
So through that, that's like the way that they could reach them. And so through Katniss is what really sparked everyone's interest, because everyone got so emotionally attached to her and PETA as a couple that like when PETA was away and like you know, Katniss being said that she was pregnant, and all this drama going on, that's kind of what made people go, oh my gosh, this is so wrong, because this is Katniss, and they love Katniss so much, because she's so awesome and whatever, because they just watched her, like, throughout the entire Hunger Games. So, it was really through that that, I think that sparked it. I think they were kind of just, like, what Alex said about them kind of just waiting for the right time to start it, I guess.
Yeah, so let's move on.
Yep. So then PETA asks Katniss about Gale, which is like major jealousy alert, haha, and if he went to say goodbye to her in District 12. And when Katniss tells PETA that both Gale and PETA's father visited her in the Justice Building, PETA seems surprised. Then PETA says that he thinks that his dad liked Prim and Katniss because he always wanted a few daughters instead of a household full of boys. Then PETA says that his dad and Katniss's mom were friends when they were little. So, what if, and this is like super awesome, and I was reading this and I was like, oh my gosh. So, what if Mr. Mellark was always secretly in love with Katniss's mom, which is why he gave Katniss the cookies and promised to help feed Prim?
Elena, you genius.
Two words. Severus Snape.
Dude, yes.
That sounds so much like it.
That, yeah, definitely. That it makes complete sense, because it's really, really random. Like, Mellark just gives her the cookies, and it's like, okay, she eats them. End of story, but this makes perfect sense. And Alex, you can talk about Snape. Yeah, that's a good parallel.
Yeah, I mean...
So maybe, like, it'll be one of those things we find out on the Hunger Games guide.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad that he dies, because I was hoping that... I wish that, like, he didn't die, so that, like, PETA's, like, witch of a mom would die eventually, and then, like, somehow Mr. Mellark and Ms. Severdeen would get together somehow.
No, it should have been Mellark would have given Katniss the memories.
Yeah, yes. The memories. I really want the scene in District 12 where she's there right after, like, the bombing, and she finds Mr. Mellark, and he's like, look me in your eyes. I want to see your mother's eyes. Oh, the fan fiction we could write.
Oh, dude, yes.
Let's all write a fan fiction.
If anybody wants to write us a little fan fiction, make one about Mr. Mellark and Katniss's mom.
Yes! I'm sure there is
starting
one,
with
actually.
The scene that we just gave you. And then Fargo.
Yes.
Yes. So, yeah, that's one mega mystery that has been solved, once again. By
Agent Elena Thomas.
Yes. Yep. So, then Katniss goes to bed and sees the AVOX girl, and then wonders if she'll enjoy watching her die. Dun, dun, dun.
Wait, how was that
that's
a dun, dun, dun?
The end of chapter 6. I don't know. It was the end of a chapter, and it's all dramatic and stuff. So.
Oh, that's wait, more so, like, hold on.
Where does Katniss see the AVOX girl? Like, right in her bedroom? That's weird.
Nightmare.
Well, when she's, like, walking by, she's, oh, like, cleaning okay, up okay. stuff, and she's like, oh, it's the AVOX girl. And then she's like, So, yeah, that's the end of chapter 6.
All right, good chapter. Good deal. Yeah. So that will do it for Chapter Chat this week. If you have any thoughts on our chapters next week, which is going to be 7 through 9, you can email us and we will put them in the show. So quick plugs, RebellionRadioPodcast.com for everything about the show. Quick links to our iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter, which are both at /RRPodcast. And you can also discuss the show with other listeners in the comments. And of course, you can contact us for anything at all at comments@RebellionRadioPodcast.com. We'll be back in 2 weeks with our chapter chat. And again, email us any thoughts on chapters 7 through 9 or anything we discussed today, 5 and 6. If you have any other thoughts that we maybe didn't get to, if you want anything else, email us in. So thanks everyone for listening. I'm Hurley Commons.
I'm Alex Bolova.
I'm Lily Thomas.
And I'm April Crisanti.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And this has been Rebellion Radio.
It's awkward.
Awkwardest ending ever.